We're going to do a teaching, a sharing on the hope of life age abiding, which is the resurrection. Now, to begin with the word hope, we have to reevaluate everything when it comes down to vocabulary and communication. So one thing we realize, and this is going to be really a, kind of an advanced class, is that this book was not written in English. This book is not written in English. They were Hebrew prophets. And the foundation is Hebrew and not English and not Greek. So when we begin, in order to understand a concept, Yahweh communicates from his book to us through Hebrew words and how they were used, not according to English words. The English words, when we started looking at dictionaries and things like that too, you know, the word hope, you know, I hope I win the lottery. Does that mean I'm going to win the lottery?
Mm-hmm. No.
If I say I hope I have eternal life, does that mean I have eternal life?
Nope.
No. So hope is really not appropriate whatsoever. I hope Christ returns. Does that mean he's absolutely going to return?
Nope.
If I say I hope. And so, but we know he is not going to absolutely return. So why are we using the word hope? And that's what we're going to start looking at. And 1 Corinthians 13:13, we talk about now by faith, hope, and love. Don't have to turn there. And the Greek words for faith is pistis. For hope is LPC. LPC. PECE. And love is agape. It's not those words. Those are Greek words. Remember, the Greek language is not based around Yahweh. The English language is not based around Yahweh. Only Hebrew is based around Yahweh. Probably the foundation is probably the beginning language. So the Hebrew word for faith is aman. For hope is batak. And for love is what?
Ahab.
And that verb, these are verbs, ahab is 158, batak is 0982. So those are the Hebrew words, and so we're going to look at what are we really trying to communicate? What is Yahweh communicating to us? So let's just go to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at the resurrection. And this is where supposedly, Christology, which is the study of Christ, and it's not the study of Christ, it's really a pagan religion where we have the immortality of the soul. So the immortality of the soul says there's a part of you that leaves when you die, and it's either going to heaven or hell or wherever. And so Plato believed in this, and the Greeks did this. The word soul, when you say the word soul, what Hebrew word are you referring to? And the only one you can say is nephesh. And nephesh doesn't mean that. There is no object that lives inside us that has no end. There's no such thing. And there's no Hebrew word for that. It doesn't even exist, but it exists in what they call Christianity today, which, as we know, the resurrection doesn't matter because when you die, you're already there, baby.
Yeah.
Right? Well, who cares about your body? And actually, they're going to say they always have bodies already up there, so they did a bypass, and that's Satan, because now dying is good, because it gets you in heaven quickly. So now he's home to be with the Lord. Well, then it's good. It's good to die, which is just demonic when you start looking at these ramifications. And every Christian circle, basically, does that, except for Joseph Priestley, which is really interesting, because he's talking about everything's based on the resurrection.
Yeah.
Period.
Joseph, and is that that Mexican dude or Asian dude?
No.
Oh.
And Mexican or Asian dude?
Yeah.
No, this is the 1790s. Joseph Priestley. But it really, I mean, you look at the scriptures, the reason Christ was so important, because he was the first one to have life age abiding.
Yeah.
But according to teachings, everybody's in heaven before that.
We didn't need him to do that.
Well, why was he even die then? If Moses was in heaven and Abraham was in heaven and everybody was already, why do we even need Christ to die? And so they completely nullified the resurrection, or, you know, which is life, age, or body, because according to them, everybody has life, age, or body. And it's either in a good place or it's a bad place, which is ridiculous. It has no standards whatsoever, and that's doctrines of demons. So we look at our hope, which is 1 Corinthians 15. It's the resurrection, which people completely throw away this chapter. And that's page 178 in the New Testament. And we'll look at 12. We'll read 12 to 22. Now, if Christ is proclaimed, it's not Jesus, it's Christ, that from among the dead he hath been awoken. Remember, raised is egyro, to be awoken. How say some among you, and so when you're awoken, which means that you were asleep. And if you're asleep, is you're not in heaven, and Christ is not taken back out of heaven. And so we go into the incarnation, pre-incarnation, and this would be, Christ when he was raised would be reincarnation, re-entering flesh, which is, I mean, that's demonic in a sense too. But back here at 12, now if Christ is proclaimed that from among the dead he hath been egyro, or awoken, how say some among you, resurrection of the dead, there is none. But the resurrection of the dead, there is none, not even Christ hath been awoken. And if Christ had not been awoken, void after all is our proclamation, void also is our faith. So there's no hint of any immortality of the soul anywhere in his whole thinking. Because it makes no sense. And we are found even false witnesses of Yahweh, because we have witnessed respecting Yahweh that he awoke the Christ, whom he also awoke, if indeed after all the dead are not awoken. So every time you see the word raised, it's the Greek word egyro, which means to awake. For if the dead are not awoken, not even Christ has been awoken, and if Christ has not been awoken, to no purpose is your faith. Yet are ye in your sins, hence also they who are falling asleep in Christ are lost or perished. If in this life in Christ we have hope, and this is what we're talking about, the word hope, and it's not the, it's, you know, which we'll look at the word, how the English use the word hope. Let me just look at that right now. Expectation of something desired, but that's just expected, it's not certainty. And so what we're talking about is certainty when it deals with Yahweh, Bartok. But if in this life we have hoped, and that is all, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now hath Christ been awoken from among the dead, a first fruit of them who have fallen asleep. For since indeed through a man came death, through a man also cometh the awakening, this is the standing up of the dead. For just as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So, why we endure things, why we take hardship, and why we are shunned by people is because of a promise that we've been given, that if you do this, if you live for me, you're going to be rewarded far above anything that you can ever imagine. And so when we actually act on that, that's a demonstration of our faith, which is our certainty, that that's going to happen. And so we're going to start looking at our word structures. You know, the English word hope is expectation of something desired. Well, to have life, age, abiding is not an expectation that I want something to live. You know, it is with us, because Yahweh has said it, it is absolute certainty. So I'm not hoping for Christ's return.
Right.
I am, and what I'm going to do is I am anticipating the future certainty. So hope is really an anticipation. It's not something now. It's something in the future. So I'm going to anticipate a future certainty. It's done. The word hope we have is expectation of something desired. The word trust is confidence in or reliance. You know, people will say faith and we've done his other teachings, faith or aman is certainty. So you don't trust the water when you start walking on it.
Right.
Or you're going to sink. Because trust is just confidence or in a reliance. Certainty, certain means determined, fixed, settled, not variable or fluctuating, unfailing. So when Peter stepped out of the boat, he had faith, which is aman, which is certainty, that that water would hold him up. And that's why it did. When Christ went to heal somebody or raise somebody dead, he had certainty, he had aman, that absolutely is going to work. It's not that it works.
It's an absolute.
Yeah, it's actually, it already has worked, because it would be like a doctor giving penicillin to you, and if you had an infection, well, the penicillin is going to do it. There's absolute certainty that the penicillin will take care of that.
Yeah.
So certainty is the certain state of truth. The Latin word is certus, C-E-R-T-U-S, which is settled or sure. So our hope, it was not a hope, it's our future promise is absolutely certain. You know, otherwise there's no way you would walk around this earth and do what you end up doing, because we have a relationship with the Creator where we're not thinking, is that really you? Now, when you start as a believer, it could be that point. But we have that's a fond relationship, and he's been so active in all of our lives for so long, as what this book says is true. So when we prophesy, is there any hesitant that the words will not be there?
No.
No. That's certainty. When we speak in tongues, is there any hesitance that the words will not be there? No. That's certainty. Certainty. So we have to get into a different point. Would you bet everything that you have that the sun will come up tomorrow?
Yep.
That is absolute certainty. And so when you're talking about faith, when you say, I'm going to walk out on something, you have to have that same inclination without hesitancy. And so, you know, would you give your house, would you bet this house on that the sun's going to be up? Absolutely. And I'll get another house. It's more than confidence. So confidence is one thing. We're talking about certainty, which means it's settled. It's firm. Now we go to the hope of life, age, abiding. So we're going to start looking at this at Titus 1:2. Timothy, Titus. And that is page 220 in the New Testament. So when people do a Bible translation or the Word of Yah translation, they have to work with the people they have, with the vocabulary they have. And as we know, our vocabulary many times is completely wrong. And when I say hope to you and hope to you, sometimes we got two different things whatsoever. So the truth are not communicated. We were talking about Donna the other day.
Yeah,
the word
day
awesome.
Like,
the word awe is fear. So when people are saying awesome, they're actually saying fearsome. That's the true meaning of the word, A-W-E. But the vulgar meaning is now wonderful, which has no relationship at all with
vulgar is.
Yeah, the vulgar actually is the word for common. And it's the misuses, and I think our adversary is very good at this, is getting people to start stumbling on their communication so they don't communicate.
Yeah.
So there's a miscommunication. And when you say eternal life, which Bible say, what does the word eternal mean?
No beginning, no end.
No beginning and no end. Well, that's not what we're talking about, is it?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about anything, life everlasting. Mm-hmm. Everlasting means a beginning but no end. Very simply. So even John 3:16 in Bibles is all wrong. You know, when it talks about eternal life. And so once you start, disregarding actual meanings of words, English words, let alone the Greek or the Hebrew.
Yeah.
So in Titus 1:2, now watch this, and the hope, now let's just put the words in here, In the anticipated future event of life, in the anticipation of future certainty of life age abiding. Which Yahweh, who cannot lie, promised before age during time. So if Yahweh promised it, it's in the bank, baby.
Yeah.
I'm not hoping for it. It's done. But hath manifested in a fitting season, even the word and the proclamation was entrusted in my by injunction of our Savior Yahweh. That word hope in there is the word elpisa, and which in the, that's the Greek word, which they translate hope, and in the Septuagint, which they do the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek, they grab the word batach, that's B-A-T-A-C-H, which is number 0982. They use, for batach, they use elpisi.
Now what?
Elpisi. P-E-C-E. Oh, you keep doing that. It's not...
Well, it's... it sounds weird when you say it.
Okay.
P-E-C-E-S.
Yeah, it's actually spelled E-L-P-I-S.
Oh, I.
But it's pronounced E-L hyphen P-E-C-E.
Okay.
So, if we know that the Hebrew word we're really trying to communicate is batach, that's what this word should be, the word hope. And that, let's go to Psalms 4:5 and take a look at it. And this is where it's translated the Greek word.
You said Psalms 45 or 4?
Psalms chapter 4, verse 5. Now this batach is a very important word. Most of the time it's translated trust or confidence, which doesn't do the when it's dealing with Yahweh, if I want to have trust in men, is that certain?
No.
No,
I don't have a certainty when I trust in men. You know, with a family member, I can have greater certainty, but there's still a hesitancy that there could be something that goes awry. But when it's Yahweh speaking, it is absolutely certain. So in Psalms 4:5, sacrifice the sacrifice of righteousness and put your batach or trust in Yahweh. So, or hope in Yahweh. Well, it's not hope and it's not trust. It's actual, your certainty in Yahweh. Because if you go with Yahweh, it's not failing. Now we go to Psalms 22:4. So this is all to get around of our future state, which is the resurrection. The Psalms 22, verse 4. In thee trusted or batached our fathers, they batached and thou did deliver them. And so we're going to find out over and over and over. And the place we're going to go is, well, we'll go to a few other places, but we're going to go to Hezekiah when Sennacherib came and attacked Jerusalem. Let's go to Isaiah 36.
Isaiah?
Yes. So this is recorded in Kings and in Isaiah 36:4, because Isaiah was the prophet during Hezekiah's time. So 35:4 or 36:4-9. And that's page 680 in the Old Testament. Whoop, I guess it'd be 679. Mm-hmm. And Rabshakeh said unto them, now, if you know the story, they are being seized by Assyria. Assyria was one of the biggest nations who was really ruling everything before Persia and before probably Egypt at this particular time. They're going to have 185,000 soldiers killed at one point by Yahweh. That's a lot of people being around a city.
Just not Wichita's dead.
Yeah. But this is how many people. So did it look like you're going to win this battle?
Yes.
No.
Oh, I mean,
sense-wise.
That many.
No, but we haven't killed them yet.
Oh.
But you are surrounded. They block you off and try to starve you out. and you got 185,000 men around you, and they're telling you to surrender and don't trust or batak in Yahweh. So that's what they're going to say. And Rabshakeh said unto them, pray, you say unto Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what is this trust or this certainty wherewith thou dost be certain? And that's what batak means when it's concerning Yahweh. I have said, sayest thou, they are only words of the lips. Counsel and might have I for the war. Now, upon whom thou dost put thy certainty that thou hast rebelled against me? Lo, thou dost put thy certainty on the support of this bruised cane on Egypt. No, that can be trust on Egypt because it's not guaranteed, because Egypt didn't come up to help him. Mm-hmm. Whereof if a man lean, it will enter his hand and lay it open. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt in all to all who trust upon him or batak. And so really, when we're looking at batak, which is when it's dealing with Yahweh, it's transcending the definition of the word. From going from trust to certainty, which is very important. But if thou sayest unto me, in Yahweh or Elohim do we batak, are we certain, then that is not he whose high places, whose altar Hezekiah has removed and set unto Judah and to Jerusalem. Before the altar shall you bow yourself down. Now therefore pledge thyself, I pray thee, with my Lord the king of Assyria, that I supply thee with 2,000 horses. Now, let me see here, I think, yeah. If that, you know, so they're going to say, we're going to give you 2,000 horses. Let's see if you got 2,000 men that will get on them. We got 185,000 people out here.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to make any difference. Now, 9, how then wilt thou turn away the face of one pasha, the least of my Lord's servant? Or hast thou on thy part trusted upon Egypt, or batak upon Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Now we go to 15, verse 15. And you can read the whole story, but later on. Neither let Hezekiah cause you to trust or have certainty in Yahweh, saying, Yahweh will certainly deliver us. Isn't that a good word? So now you got the word certainly. Will deliver us. This city shall not be given over into the hand of king of Assyria. Now we go to 37:10. Thus shall you surely speak unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy Elohim, in whom thou art having certainty, beguile thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given over. You know, so this is really interesting. So you're just not trusting, you don't have confidence. Your life is depending upon what Yahweh has said. And that makes you walk out into Aman, which is faith, which is certainty. And that's the same way I think David went with Goliath.
Yeah.
So you really got two things in common. One is Yahweh anointed him with the Ruach of Yahweh, Spirit. And so not only is he certain that he can kill this man, which is a future event, so I'm not going to hope that I kill Goliath. I am absolutely certain that I will kill Goliath.
I have killed him.
So now I'm talking in the future tense on an event that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I am prophesying that it's going to happen. So that's certainty. I'm not hoping to kill Goliath. I'm not trusting to kill Goliath.
I'm going to kill
him. I have killed Goliath. And that is the certainty that comes about. But what we're trying to communicate, which is hard to do on the words. Now we go to verse 36 and 37. Same chapter, 37. Then went forth the messenger of Yahweh and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when men rose early in the morning, lo, they were all dead bodies. That was because of their
certainty.
Yeah, they're really their certainty, their faith, which is Aman, just like Abraham had. He said, you're going to have a child. And he believed Yahweh, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So when you make a stand, that's when things actually happen. Now we go to, let's go to Isaiah 12:2. See, we're still looking at the word batak, or batak. It's B-A-T-A-C-H, but it has like a K sound on the end.
I believe it.
12, verse 2. Lo, El is my salvation. I will batak, I will have certainty and not fear or dread. If you have any kind of... Let me ask you this. If you bet your life savings on the sun being seen tomorrow, would you lose any sleep on the bet?
Nope. No, but I wouldn't lose any money either.
Well, okay, well, let's say you have money.
Right.
But, you know, you would not lose sleep because
it's
a sure thing.
It's a money in the bank.
So there is no fear. And so if I ever have fear or anxiety, I don't have certainty, do I?
Okay.
And that's why I have anxiety and I have fear or dread. And so let's look at 12:2. Lo, El is my salvation. I will trust, I will have batak, I will have certainty and not dread. Dread is same as fear. And so we use that word incorrectly too. We say, I dread that job. I fear the job. Yeah, that makes no sense. I was raised with incorrect vocabulary. We'd say that food is awful. That food is fearful. Or that food is terrible. You know what terror means?
Scared.
You know what terror is?
Right.
To be terrified?
Right.
It's fear, but the food is not terrifying. It's not, you know, this food is terrifying. This food is terrible. No, it's the same word. You know, it has nothing to do with taste. But that's what it was I was raised with. And you're like, so inaccurate in the common. For my might and my melody is Yahweh, and he have become mine by salvation. And that's why a person who has got their batak, then they automatically have certainty of a future event, which we have. I don't know if you have. I don't know if you've much been in the Word. If there's any hesitation that this book could be wrong, if there's any hesitation that it could be wrong, then you're not going to have that certainty. And you have to be able to acquire that.
But you can get that.
Yeah, you can get that.
By reading.
By seeking it and looking at it. And when you see people who fall away, is usually what happens. Their foundation was not settled. It was not firm, which means they fell away. You remember Tommy Crabb? Jacob Crabb? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is, hope is batak, and I'm going to say anticipated future certainty of an event. So, first let's go back to hope, but we can't use the word hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And the other reason why manifestations are so absolutely important, I was reading on Joseph Priestley. And people are looking at historical documents, so this book is a historical document. And he says, and he's fighting Thomas Paine. Anybody know who Thomas Paine is? Thomas Paine wrote Common Sense during the Revolutionary War, which is very popular. I'm going to tell you what page it's on. Begin at 1 Thessalonians 4:13.
2:10.
Yeah, 2:10 in the New Testament. And so you're getting people to say, have you ever heard of Julius Caesar?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe he existed?
According to history, yes.
Well, do you believe it?
Yeah.
Why would you doubt it? Did you ever see him? Do you have any evidence that he actually existed? Mm-hmm. And so our life is based upon that. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, nobody has a first-hand account whatsoever about anything. And so,
we read.
So, but he's doing that, and that's true about this book. Why you should trust it because of how it's been handed down, and it makes sense. Yeah. But when you have Holy Spirit, there's a different thing that happens because now you're actually in the game. You're not talking about the game. You're actually in contact with that spiritual world.
Yeah.
And that's tongues with interpretation and prophecy, word of knowledge. And so when you're speaking in tongues and interpreting prophecy, the actual thoughts are coming for you to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is supernatural. Because mm-hmm. those thoughts weren't there when you started.
Yeah.
So that's evidence that one is that Christ was raised. Because if he was not raised, then this book makes no sense. So that is a proof of the resurrection that Christ rose, because I can speak in tongues and interpret and prophesy, because with that they poured out the Spirit, and I have evidence of the Spirit, the proof of the Spirit, and we can see in many people's lives they have the proof by watching them, how peaceful they are, how good they are. And so I would look at missionaries who gave their whole life to go to Africa. And so even logically, when I wasn't sure about this book, I'm looking at, who else does that?
Yeah.
Who else would give up a job at Boeing or making $100,000 or $50,000 a year and go live in a hut for 50 years and be without electricity, without toilets, without anything else? And why would they do that? You don't see that in Islam. You don't see that in Hindu. You don't see it in any other religion. But people in Christianity actually do that, and they do it voluntarily.
Yeah.
So that was a great witness to say, boy, they got something. I mean, that makes so contrary to any kind of sense knowledge that we have of what has happened. But back to the hope, we've got a certainty that he exists because we communicate with him every day. Mm-hmm. So 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not wish you to be ignorant concerning brethren, them who are falling asleep. Wait a minute here, 4:13, yeah. Lest ye be sorry, even as the rest also, who are without what?
Oh,
hope. Without certainty. Now we go to 5:8 of the same chapter, or same book. But we, being of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of aman, or certainty, and agape, love, and for the helmet, the hope, and it should be the anticipated, or think about the anticipated certainty, future event. Of what? Of salvation. Well, absolutely. There's no hesitation that we have salvation. So now we go to Titus. So he's got Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus 1:2, which we've already read. The word hope is going to be in here three different times. In hope of, 1:2, in hope of life, age abiding, which is in anticipated future certainty of life, age abiding. We got 2:13. Prepare to welcome the happy hope and for shining, which would be batak, same would be the Hebrew word, or the anticipated future certainty, or for shining of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Christ Yahushua. And then in 3:7, in order that having been declared righteous by his favor, we should be made inheritors according to the the anticipated
certainty.
The anticipated future certainty of what? Life, age abiding. So there's no hesitation whatsoever. Hebrews 11:1. And this is a good association with aman, which is certainty, and batak, which is certainty, when it's dealing with Yahweh. Now we'll look at 10:39 first. We are, however, are not of drawing back unto destruction, but of faith or of certainty. But so when you say the word faith, think of certainty. So when people say, "Are you healed?" I believe I'm healed. Then it should be, "I am certain that I'm healed."
Yeah.
I'm not certain I'm healed. So you really don't have the faith at this particular time. I'm getting closer to it.
Yeah.
But when you can step over that bounds and say, "I am certain," without any manifestation except for this word, then you stepped over in that realm. So, well, I believe I didn't get healed. He didn't heal me. I believe you did, because you weren't certain.
Yeah.
That's what it's required. So we're looking at it by faith to an acquisition of life or by certainty. But faith, or certainty is a thing's anticipated future certainty hoped for. So we got faith and hope in the same sentence. A confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of facts, which is truths of facts, a conviction when they are not seen.
Yeah.
So I have a certainty that future events are coming to pass, and people actually walked out in that certainty, and all of chapter 11 is about them. When Abraham left his city, when Moses left Egypt, and it goes on and on, when Abel brought forth sacrifices, and so their actions, so what 11 is, it's really showing their actions of their certainty of what they believed, but they had to act first, and their actions always show if it's already have it, I don't have to be certain about it. You know, so if I've already acquired a house, I don't have to have
faith that you're
faith and I'm going to get a house.
Yeah.
You know, so because I already have it. So and that's what the anticipated. That's what hope is, something that's in the future, and not now. So now we kind of get down to what's this all about. Well, this is all about our future home, which is Isaiah 60, chapter 60. And we're going to read that. Maybe we have time. It's just a great book, and it's not that we're going to have hope that this is going to come about. It's already settled.
Yeah.
It's already firm.
Certainty, like you said.
Yeah, it's certain as it happens. And so what we're doing is we're gaining a foreknowledge of that thing that was going to happen, just like when a new heaven, new earth comes down out of heaven. That's fact. That's truth.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't happened yet. It doesn't make any difference. That's going to happen. So chapter, so we're page 704, Isaiah 60. Now this is talking about the new earth that we live on, and that's the other place where people have actually, we've all lost it. We're all, since people have immortal souls, where do they have to go when they die? Well, they can't go to the earth, right?
You're right.
So what do we have to do? We have to come up with a place, and we're going to call it heaven, because we're not there. They're there, and we're here. And so we create heaven in this atmosphere to put these immortal souls, but actually the earth is our home, and this is going to show it all about it, and that's why everybody else is asleep. So when David died, where is he?
Asleep.
He's asleep. Abraham's, where is he? He's asleep. Moses, where is he? Asleep. So Yahweh has been deprived from fellowshipping with all these people.
It's like you're like
for thousands of years. Yeah, thousands of years. And he's waiting for that day when, Christ is going to raise the dead.
Think about Yahushua wanting to see his mom and his brother.
Oh, yeah, all that. His father, everything else. But they're all asleep. But not according to the demonic teachings of Christianity. Arise, shine, for thy light hath come, and the glory of Yahweh on thee hath beamed. For lo, darkness covers the earth, and deep gloom the people. But on thee beameth Yahweh, and his glory on thee is seen. So shall nations come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of our dawning. Obviously, this is actually talking to Israel and Jerusalem, but we're going to be there also. Lift up round about thine eyes and see, and why we're seeing this is it's giving us reasons to run the course.
Yeah.
If you run the course, this is your story.
Yeah.
If you fail, you're going to be part, but not in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, what do you call it? The trailer.
This is
the trailer of a great film that you can be part of. Four, lift up round about thine eyes and see. They all have gathered themselves together, have come to thee. Thy sons from afar shall come, and thy daughters on thy side shall be carried. And go ahead and read, Melania, and tell Tate to stop. Verse 5.
Then shalt thou see and be radiant, and thy heart shall throb and be enlarged. For thou, For there shall be turned upon thee the fullness of the sea, the riches of the nations shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, or Ephah, Ephah. All they of Sheba shall come. Gold and frankincense shall they bring, and the praises of Yahweh shall they joyfully tell, and the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall wait upon thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar. My beautiful house will I adorn.
What do you want to read now?
To where?
Just eight. We'll just read. We're going to read the chapter.
Okay. And my beautiful house will I adorn. Who are these?
No. Who are these? Okay, yeah, okay, go ahead, sorry.
Who are these that as a cloud do fly, and as doves to their coats? Surely for me shall coastlands wait, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring in thy sons from afar, for their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of Yahweh thy Elohim, and unto the Holy One of Israel, because he hath adorned thee. So shall the sons of the foreigner build thy walls, and their kings shall wait upon thee. For in my vexation I smote thee, but in my favor have I had compassion upon thee.
Well, that daughter read from now on.
Just kidding. Right. Yeah.
So shall thy gates be open continually, neither day nor night shall they be shut, that they may bring upon thee the riches of the nations, and their kings be led. So look at all this picture that's been seeing. For the nations and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall what?
Perish.
Yea, the nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon on thee shall come, the fir tree, the holm oak, and the sherbin cedar together to adorn the place of my sanctuary, and the place of my feet will I make glorious. Then shall come unto thee, bending low, the sons of them who had humbled thee. So the people who have beat up on us.
Yeah.
Are going to be bending down to us, humbling in thee. Then shall bow down unto the soles of thy feet all they who had despised thee. And that's our, is that a promise?
Yes.
So that's a promise, and that's certain. And so when I want to take vengeance in my own hand, Yahweh says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And so I have to, is that a promise?
Yeah.
Yes. Is he going to fulfill that promise?
Absolutely.
Yes, he will. Are these people going to get away with it?
Nope.
No, they're not. You know, Obama's and the Democrats going to get away with it?
Nope.
No, they're not. Hitler get away with it? No, he's not. 15, instead of thy being forsaken and hated, so that none used to pass through unto thee, I will make of thee an exceedingly age-abiding, the joy of generation after generations. And thou shalt derive sweet nourishment from the nations, yea, on the bounty of kings shalt thou be sustained. So shalt thou know that I, Yahweh, am thy Savior, and that thy Redeemer is the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring in gold, and instead of iron, I will bring in silver. Instead of wood, bronze, and instead of stones, iron. And I will appoint the oversight of thee to prosperity, and the setting of thy task to righteousness. Violence shall be no more be heard in thy land. Isn't that going to be great?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wasting nor destruction within thy boundaries, but thou shalt call thy walls of victory, and thy gates praise. And you want to finish 19 to the end?
Thou shalt no more have the sun for light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But Yahweh shall become thine age-abiding light, and thy Elohim thine adorning. No more shall go in thy sun, nor thy moon withdraw itself, for Yahweh will become to thee an age-abiding light. So shall be ended the days of thy mourning. And thy people shall all of them be righteous. To time's age abiding shall they possess the land. The sprout of mine own planting, the work of mine own hands, that I may get myself glory. The little one shall become a thousand, and the small one a mighty nation. I, Yahweh, in its own season, will hasten it.
Is that a promise?
Yes.
Yeah, and so we got to remember, a promise of Yahweh is certain, fixed, not variable, unfailing. We stepped into another place, and other people can look at us and see that assurity to say, God, these guys, they are, you know, it's like when the scribes were teaching in Joshua's time, and Joshua came in there, he said, he teaches not like the scribe, he teaches the fool.
Right. Yeah.
And you got so many other people that they go into something and then they're out, and they try something else, and now they're a baseball fan, now they're a football fan, now they're, going to a different phase. They're a fanatic for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, and then they go off to something else. You're seeing them bounce along like most people do. And then you see somebody else who is just consistent.
Yeah.
And year after year after year after year.
On course control, never speed.
Yeah, they're in light, and they have stumbling by all means, but you have to say, wow. You know, they've really hooked their wagon to something that I can't see. And to me, it's invisible, which it is. But it can become visible. Okay, so we'll go ahead and start. And I'll give a prophecy to end this session for the people here and for the people in the future. Thank you, Father, for these words. Be bold and courageous, for victory is yours as you anticipate and walk in respect to what my word has said. I promised it. I will fulfill it. As you know, you exist because of me. That's it. Amen.
Yeah, we exist because of him.
That's right.